Good morning. It's Thursday, September the 7th, and you've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY with Jack and Jim. And we are going to be with you for the next hour here on your community radio station. Talking today a little bit about an upcoming play at the Panada Theater and some open auditions that are going on for that. But first, we must discuss the weather, as we always do at this time. Of course, if you're anything like me, you've been following the smoke report on about a 4 times an hour basis. That's my updates. But the air quality alert is still in effect, and if you have not been checking into it today, we may have some news for you. Today is going to be widespread smoke, as usual, as we're starting to get used to here in this kind of post-apocalyptic landscape that we've got here. Sunny with a high near 76, if you can see the sun. Northeast wind continuing around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. Tonight, widespread smoke mainly before 11 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 59. Calm wind. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, which would be quite a relief, and thunderstorms mainly before 11 a.m., widespread haze after 11 a.m. Areas of smoke, which is a change from widespread smoke, again, partly sunny with a high near 83, calm wind becoming south around 6 miles an hour in the afternoon. New rainfall amounts of less than 1/10 of an inch is possible unless there is a thunderstorm. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Friday night. Widespread haze continuing, but that's a little different than widespread smoke. Mostly cloudy with a low around 59 degrees. Then a 20% chance of showers after 11 a.m. on Saturday. Patchy smoke, partly sunny, with a high near 79. South wind around 7 miles an hour. Continuing through the weekend, widespread haze, mostly sunny if the sun does come out. Widespread haze with highs in the upper 70s. What we're looking for here, what would be good news, Jim, is if this wind would shift, and it does look like it's going to shift.
How about no wind at all?
Yeah.
that would be the best. I was listening to you, Jack, and I was thinking of widespread smoke, widespread haze, and areas of smoke. I mean, that's sort of like splitting hairs.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes it sound like, okay, if you're in South Sandpoint, you're going to have areas of smoke. But if you're out towards the airport, you'll have widespread haze.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all bad. I was just thinking, with Harvey and Irma and Jose, we almost have enough for a bridge game going there.
Yeah.
With, when you think of what's...
Oh, Katya is coming around, too. Have you heard of that?
No.
There's a new one.
Wait, H-I-J-K. Okay.
Katya.
Katya. And where is Katya?
Down south. Way south towards the...
Is it still farther out?
Yeah. And not... It doesn't... That's... It's in the Gulf of Mexico, but I don't think it's heading towards the United States.
But, I mean, here you are in Florida bracing for... in Miami is bracing for Irma, and then by the way, Jose's on his way, and it's sort of like, I don't want to say the word, but what's happening?
Yeah,
you don't know what is happening here, do you?
No, not really,
Mr. Jones.
I should mention that the air quality alert that was put
out—it's
out,
been awful.
Yeah, they put it out. I believe it first was issued on by the National Weather Service on Sunday, but it continues until noon Monday for Bonner County, as well as Benoit Boundary, Kootenai, Shoshone, Latah, Lewis, and Nez Perce counties,
and that's
widespread.
People with heart and lung conditions, you know who you are, as well as little children and elderly. Limit your activity outdoors if you must go outdoors. But I don't know what's happening at your place, but at our place, we just want to open windows because it's so stuffy.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
But we don't want to open our windows, and so... we're sort of like in a quandary, but let's hope that this too shall pass with the limited amount of damage by the fire. And
what I mentioned, the wind earlier, it is it sounds like the smoke that we're getting right now is coming from Montana and southern British Columbia. And usually, of course, our prevailing wind, doesn't that come out of the west?
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting this, you know, this backflow, wind coming out of the east, blowing all this smoke.
And when it does
when
come
it
from
does
the west,
resume, it should
we get
blow
Oregon.
Away. Well, oh, well, yeah, well, there is.
Oregon is getting dumped with fires as well.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, it could not be a relief, but... Well, but
we could talk about this all hour, but we've got other folks in here.
Speaking of, speaking of what looks like an apocalypse outside, it would be
this
perfect.
Would be in an apocalypse in the little theater. We've got with us here Robert Moore. Robert is the director of an upcoming production called War of the Worlds, and this will be a casting call. But we're going to talk with Robert a little bit more about it. Good morning, Robert.
Thank you for having us.
It's good to have you. And with him is Becky Rivak. Becky is the Panada Theater House Manager, correct?
Well, I don't know about House Manager. I book movies and I'm the event. I am in charge of doing all contracts for events.
Well,
but
Becky, that's
you can call me House Manager.
Well, that's what comes up when I punch up the email address for you.
Oh,
as well as Queen Extraordinaire and other qualities.
Good but, titles. I
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank She's you. Very talented.
Wonderful. Robert, tell us a little bit about, I'll let you just ramble in whichever direction you go about War of the Worlds, how you came up with the idea, the needs, whatever.
Okay. Also, I wanted to say that Becky is the producer under the Panada for War of the Worlds, as well as a really great director and writer, and it's been a privilege to work with her on a number of things in the past. So it's really a good time to do War of the Worlds, too, especially, as you said, outside and with the news of everything that's going on. But it's a perfect time because it will be showing in late October there on the Panada Theater main stage. We've moved it from the Little Panada. We're going to kind of open
moved.
It.
It's
yeah,
been
we're
moved. Okay.
Actually going to take it to the main stage, which will be really exciting. And this has kind of been a project that I've kind of wanted to do for quite a while, in keeping the tradition of the radio style broadcast. Back in 2011, I brought It's a Wonderful Life to the Panada stage during Christmas time with Sandpoint on stage. And we had 34 actors that all came up to the microphone and did the readings. And then we had all the live sound effects made on stage with the old Ross Hall photographs as a backdrop. And it was really successful. People really liked to be transported back to that nostalgic age of radio. Especially now we're bombarded with so much social media and television and movies all the time. And so in the back of my head, I thought, man, what a better one to do than Orson Welles did it with the Mercury Theater back in the late 30s and do War of the Worlds. And, you know, at the time, it really freaked a lot of people out because people tuned in after the disclaimer that, you know, this is kind of a spoof. This is not real. But as history has shown, you know, it really freaked a lot of people out, and Orson Welles had to go and apologize, you know, for the chaos that ensued from live radio. And, you know, what an interesting time period to live in when you're listening to the radio and, you know, you're terrified of everything that you're hearing. So what we're doing is we're going to bring that same style back. We're going to have all the actors be reading from the script. We're going to have sound effects made. And instead of Ross Hall photographs, we're going to be displaying UFO pictures and some of that stuff on the backdrop and having the live sound effects. And, you know, the idea is that the audience members can come in and just kind of close their eyes and just listen to it and be able to build their own imagery in their minds and use their imagination rather than just seeing it visually for them all the time.
Do you have dates set up for the performance?
Yeah, the performances are going to be October 26th, Thursday, and then Friday at 11 a.m. we're going to invite the schools to come down, and we're just going to do an hour-long abbreviated version
neat.
To
that's
bring in all the schools. And then Saturday, the 28th at 7:30, and then Sunday we're going to have a matinee at 3:30 on the 29th.
All leading up to Halloween.
All leading up to Halloween.
Okay, now this is a casting call. We're here with Robert Moore. He's going to be the director. Well, he is the director, even though he hasn't directed yet, of War of the Worlds, coming up the weekend before Halloween this year. What are some of your needs in terms of people out there?
Well, the auditions are next week. It's next Monday and Tuesday, the 11th and 12th at 6 p.m. at the Little Panada Theater. And what I'm really looking for is about 10 to 11, depending on who show up, actors. We're going to have about 7 men and 4 women, and depending on who we all get through the door for auditions, each actor is going to be playing multiple roles, so it'll be a good opportunity for actors to come in and be able to be a variety of characters. No one needs to bring in a monologue or anything like that. I'm going to have sides from the play itself and just have them read across from either myself or Becky. And I'm just really kind of listening to what kind of voices and what kind of characters that they can bring, and we'll just go accordingly. But this is unique because in traditional theater, actors show up and they audition for it, and then they get into rehearsals and they got to memorize a whole bunch of lines and figure out that as well as blocking. But it's really easy where the actors are just going to be able to read from the script. So you really don't have to have any acting experience. I mean, if you're interested in theater and just wanting to get your foot through the door, this is a perfect opportunity because all those intimidation factors that we deal with aren't there. So I'm looking for, you know, seasoned actors to people who are just interested or interested in War of the Worlds or H.G. Wells or Orson Welles, and just come out.
So essentially you're looking for voices.
I'm looking for voices.
And just off the top of your head, could you give an idea of what kind of voices? Do you want voices that instill terror and fear?
Well, there'll be all of that. I mean, there's a wide variety from the narrator who kind of just sets up the story itself. I mean, Orson Welles was in it, so we don't really have Orson Welles around, but anywhere from that to I have a professor and, you know, a couple of the military people that were in it, you know, to a farms person who's this landing, this UFO crash in his sight, to, you know, the public that's scared. But, you know, one actor can play 3 to 4 different roles, so they'll be able to go, okay, well, I could be this kind of character, and then, you know, 15 minutes later, I got to be a woman in terror, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. So it lends itself as an actor who, you know, actors like to play outside of themselves, and, you know, that's what's so appealing about it, is I get to be somebody else for a couple hours. But here, with this play, you get to be multiple personalities. So if you have multiple personalities already, this is the perfect play for you.
Seeing your doctor.
If you talk to yourself in 6 or 7 different voices throughout the day, this is the play to audition for.
So, wonderful.
Variety.
Now, you mentioned sound effects. Are you looking for people who can do sound effects?
Yes.
Now, do you have, I take it that in the weeks ahead, you'll build the sound effects?
Correct.
And what will be some of the sound effects that you'll like? Will there be a door opening and shutting like that?
I'm going through the play right now, and as I go through, you know, I'm picking out the various sound effects. We will have a table with just some minimal sound effects. With It's a Wonderful Life, I had a large amount. And that was the one thing that we heard was, well, I didn't really understand what those people on the table were doing. And I said, well, they were creating the sound effects. And people were drawn to that phenomenon of making the sound effects, as they do, you know, in movie magic and stuff. But, yeah, we'll have a table and, you know, with some of, you know, the metal dropping of the landing craft and the sirens. And we'll have some of the music provided for us because there's some little bit of a soundtrack. But, you know, then the simple thing of, you know, as an example is at the beginning of the play, the reporter goes to the professor in this laboratory, you know, with the telescope and everything. And, you know, it references that it sounds like they're in an echo. Well, you know, I'm going to be playing around with pretty much handing the actors a tin can so that when they're talking into the microphone, they'll be talking into the tin can to kind of create that ambiance that they're in a hollow space. So there will be some sound effects. And I do, you know, I'm always interested in finding people that want to be part of the theater process because there's so much to do other than just being on stage. You need the stage crew, you need the sound effects, you need somebody to help with the music, the microphones, the lighting. So even if you're interested in theater, but you don't want to be on stage and you're more interested in the technical stuff, this is a great way to get involved too. And the sound effects are going to be really easy. We'll have a script with all the cues. We're going to have plenty of rehearsals. So it should be a fun process for everybody involved.
I'd be sort of curious. You mentioned back to the glory days of radio where you did not have outside of the print media. You didn't have the challenge of television. Where do you want the audience to focus in on? Because, you know, I mean, my notion would be if you wanted it back, you'd give everyone eye shades mm-hmm. and that they would wear the eye shades and listen, just listen. Will there be a challenge for the audience members to, do I focus in on who's reading the lines or do I focus in on movement over here where they're making a noise? How does that play itself out, Robert?
Well, I think it's just, it can be kind of distracting to go, you know, focus your eye on the sound effect. But at the same time, as your eyes are focused over there, you're going to be able to listen to the voices and to what's coming out from the radio. I think the biggest, you know, the thing I want people to focus on is, you know, turn your phones off for a while and leave everything at the door. But it's most important that people come into the Panetta Theater, and I want to kind of transport them back in time, you know, as if they are sitting in the old radio booth, you know, and really seeing the actors. We're going to have one microphone that all the actors are going to gather around.
So there's just going to be one microphone.
Yeah, there's just going to be one microphone. And, you know, so, you know, even our pre-show music is going to be, you know, late 30s, early mm-hmm. 40s, mm-hmm. you know. And so we really want to kind of go back in time of, you know, being in the old Mercury Theater in the sound, you know, studio and watching it unfold and creating that nostalgia. And I mean, it falls in line with, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate our 90th birthday for the Panetta Theater. So, you know, it's really a good time to do something this classic and this old writer, you know.
Tell us about the script itself. Is this the same script that Orson Welles used?
Correct.
Word for word?
Yeah, it is very similar. I haven't really gone line by line, but this War of the Worlds 1938 radio script is what I got. So everything that I've read through and I've listened to the original, I just to kind of, you know, a while ago. I haven't lately because I don't want it to cloud or mislead me in my own interpretation of it. But yeah, it is very similar and right on to the original broadcast.
Cool. Yeah. And this is an update of the original H.G. Wells story.
Correct.
I mean, at the time it was an update to the present day. Is that correct?
Correct. And it is the radio script that I believe that Orson Welles used in his presentation back in late 30s, in October 30th,
that's so cool.
Actually.
Just in case there's anyone out there who hasn't heard of it, which is possible.
Right.
I guess the most recent adaptation was probably that Tom Cruise movie from...
Yeah, I wouldn't base, you know, your experience off of that.
No. So what is the story? What happens in this play?
Well, the story just loosely is, you know, it's just a normal day in radio broadcasting, you know, and they're going about their business, and you know, they cut to the professor who has noticed some activity on Mars, and they don't think it's a big, you know, ordeal. And then they kind of go back to, you know, whatever your show in progress, and then they cut back in to, well, we're, you know, on scene here to a local farmer that observed something crashing into the ground. And I mean, it really is, you know, so it kind of goes into that, and the reporter is actually describing, you know, what's taking place. Oh, you know, a large chunk of metal has come off. Oh no, I can see eyes. And, you know, and then all of a sudden the microphone drops, you know, we go back into music, and then we go back, you know, on location, and he's moved, and he's like, well, you know, all this stuff has happened. So it's almost being like a reporter in a war zone or a conflict, and just describing for the audience what he sees, you know, and just breaking that down. And so they go through the whole process. I don't want to ruin the ending for you, but it does pretty much start with, you know, these alien life forms, UFOs crashing into this farmer's field and all the chaos that ensues because of it.
Well, it sounds pretty fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. How many people are you looking for?
I'm looking for a total of 11 mm-hmm. people that come out, and like I said, this is more men than women. So we're looking for about 7 men, 4 women. And depending on who we get, if we don't get all 11, it just means actors get to play more parts, which can be fun as well.
And I'm sure you're looking for a range of voices since this
right.
is a non-visual medium. The voices become important. And once again, the calls will be on this Monday and Tuesday in the Little Theater at what time?
At 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Come a little early.
Come a of course, it's always good to come early. And I would highly encourage, if you've ever thought, this would be, like you said, Robert, a good way to get your feet wet. Because you don't have to worry about memorizing lines. You don't have to worry about costumes or anything like that.
Right. And also, this is a Panada Playhouse production. And the Panada, over the last year or so, have really started to build our theater group within the Panada Theater. I mean, Becky did Christmas Carol last Christmas, and then we just got done doing Jingle, and now we're doing War of the Worlds. So, you know, this is part of the Panada Playhouse mission, is just to continue to build good quality theater under, you know, at the Panada Theater. So
excellent, excellent. That. So this is for the final weekend in October before Halloween, War of the Worlds. And we've been talking with Robert Moore, the director of War of the Worlds, and a casting call, but a unique casting call because no memorization of lines, just the ability to read script. And he's looking for certain kinds of voices, 7 men, 4 women. But how many sound effect people? You mentioned sound effect people.
I think one, you know, one. If we got 2 people to help, we could, you know, make that happen as well. You know, and if I got a whole bunch of people that were interested in it, we'd make it work too.
Okay, so should people who are interested in sound effects come as well at 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
On either this Monday, September the 11th, or Tuesday, September the 12th.
Yes.
What do we say to a director? Break a leg, or what do you say? Crack a tooth,
yeah.
Or
have fun. Good luck.
Have fun.
Yeah, break a leg.
I think this is wonderful. So, if one has questions, let's say about or if they can't make it on the 11th and 12th, but can make it, is there a number to call? A way to be in contact with you?
Yeah, they can call the Panada Theater at 208-263-9191. And also follow the Panada Theater on Facebook, and there's plenty of information there.
And then leave a message,
yeah,
in case.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Anything else, Jack, for Robert before we send him off into the haze, smoke, or areas of smoke?
Yeah, the patchy smoke.
And the patchy smoke.
Yeah. I don't know, other than it it does sound exciting. And I wonder, I don't know. I guess maybe we can talk off the air a little bit about getting some kind of production in here someday. That'd be cool. Yeah, do it actually on the radio instead.
Yeah, that would be perfect. We're going to most likely be able to record it through the sound equipment. That was a great thing about It's a Wonderful Life, is we recorded it, and I could go back and listen to it. And I was like, that's when you know you've accomplished what you've set out to do, when you can listen to it and go, wow, it's just exactly what I wanted to do, be able to listen to it on radio. But yeah, when we get done and we get the actors, we'd love to come back and do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fun weekend right before Halloween, that's for sure.
Yeah. Thank you for coming out of the smoke and coming into our clear air of the studio here. You're with Jim and Jack on the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, and we're going to take a break, a music break, and then come back with Becky, who is going to talk about the upcoming events at the Panada. But on this date, that would be September the 7th, 60 years ago, the wonderful Sam Cooke released on Keen Records, You Send Me.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That was Sam Cooke, A Blast from the Past from 60 years ago today. It was released on September the 7th, 1957. And that song ranks number 115 on Rolling Stone's top 500 songs of all time.
Makes sense.
What a great voice. And so, you know, Chain Gang, Cupid, just wonderful songs from Train Is a Comin'.
I love Sam Cooke. Yeah.
Oh, what a voice.
Right. That's a Change Is Gonna Come. That's the one that great.
And Change Is Gonna Come. Right.
Well, they've all been covered because they're classics. We're here with another classic. We've got Becky Rivack in the studio.
Yeah, but not an age-wise classic.
No, just, I mean...
I am getting up there now, Jim. It's okay.
No, like an ageless, an eternal sort of a thing. I don't know.
Oh, good escape, Jack.
Right.
Good escape.
Yeah, I did. I'm just digging the hole deeper. Anyway, Becky Rivack is here. She's from the Panda Theater. Did we decide you are not the house manager? You are instead, you're the producer of War of the Worlds.
I've never been called the house manager.
What's a producer do?
A producer basically takes care of the director. Make sure he gets what he wants or tells him that he can't have it.
The hot tea with lemon and...
No, that would just be my secondhand man.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's so, the assistant director.
Because I've oftentimes wondered, you see with movies and whatever, the producer.
Usually a producer is the money person in the film industry. So that's usually a producer. Usually a line producer is basically in the film industry is kind of what I'm doing for Robert. I'm making sure that he's got what he wants. That he is able to set up certain times that he needs for different things that will put, you know, like we're looking for them. I'm going to be looking for a microphone. Normally that would be a prop person, obviously, but we're trying to get a cool old style microphone, so those different things that he wants, I will go after for him. And if I can get him, I'll tell him. If I can, I'll say, sorry.
So who has more power?
Well, of course, the producer does.
Ooh. Well, Becky, who is also the producer of War of the Worlds, what's coming up at the Panada in the days ahead?
Well, gosh, we have a big lineup coming up to the Panada. Like always, we're trying to stay busy and keep people in there. We are bringing this weekend in the Inconvenient sequel, the runner-up to Gore's first Inconvenient Truth. And that's going to be this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then we're going to have an afternoon showing on Sunday. And then the one thing that we did do this weekend, instead of showing it multiple times in the same day, we're doing a tribute to, you know, Jerry Lewis, who just passed away. And we're going to be showing a Martin and Lewis film, one of the best ones that got top three in their combos, which is called Scared Stiff.
So that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
What year? That's early 50s, isn't it?
I believe it was 53 or 4 or something like that.
Yeah, when they were really at their peak.
Yes, yeah. So, and then one of the things that we're excited about is we were able to be one of the theaters in the United States to show the South by Southwest Audience Award winner, May It Last, a portrait of the Avett brothers. And they're only showing it in theaters one night, and that's going to be Tuesday the 12th at 7:00. And the thing that's nice about that is they're not going to be showing it again anywhere for a whole year when they get together the HBO special on them. So it's cool.
The latest issue of Rolling Stone has a wonderful write-up. I forget who's on the cover, some faceless television personality. But they all look the same. You know, they're all like under 20, and they all have their hair done by someone and their nails done by someone. But the latest issue of the Rolling Stone has a wonderful article on this movie. I highly recommend it. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, and if you actually look it up online, there's some really great articles and some nice pieces and clips from the movie itself, from the documentary, I should say. And it's definitely worth coming to see. And then the next thing that we got, which is cool, it's the 40th birthday of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. They just digitally remastered it, and they're only letting it out to certain theaters. And I argued and pled and begged, and we are going to be getting Close Encounters on Thursday and Saturday of September 14th and 16th at 7:30.
I'd be sort of curious, Becky, what is meant by visually remastered?
What they do, they go in digitally. They take the actual original film from it. So the film that they actually shot it on, their main working piece of film, then they take that and then they, you know, digitally remaster it through a machine, which basically turns it into like the best X's and O's you can imagine.
Like high definition.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I think this one's 4K. They've turned it into a 4K.
So we get to see Richard Dreyfuss playing with the mashed potatoes.
Exactly. And his big, huge clay model of the,
cool.
Yeah.
So really clear.
Extremely.
Again, what's the date on that?
That is going to be on September 14th and 16th at 7:30.
That is a Thursday and a Saturday.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm really excited about that because I had to beg for that one. And they finally said, okay, you can have it. So that was nice.
I'm glad you did. Yeah. I love that movie.
I'm
sure my girlfriend hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, so awesome. I'm hoping people, you know, parents bring their kids to see it because, you know, this is one of those things that we saw when we were a lot younger.
Another title for Becky, Master Beggar.
That's right. The other thing I forgot to tell is our board president, Nancy Rank, is also a pretty well-known historian around here. And she is going to be doing the Historic Theaters walking tour. So there used to be anywhere from 6 to 8 theaters in town, from opera houses to, you know, vaudeville to, you name it, regular old movie theaters. And she's going to do a walking tour that's been in the making for probably about a year and a half. And she's going to start it this week, September 10th at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And they're going to meet over at the parking lot at the Bridge Street and Bypass. So that new little parking lot they've made over there as you go across Bridge Street. Yeah, and then just right in front of the bypass there. So, and that's going to be the start of Nancy's.
Is that where the old motel was?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I forget the name of the motel, but there used to be a motel there.
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so Nancy's going to be running those this Sunday on September 10th at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And she's going to take you around and show you all the nostalgic spots of all the old theaters in town.
Oh, that's neat. And that goes along with the walking tour that's on September the 9th, day before, a walking tour of historic Sandpoint.
Well, yeah, this is also
separate.
A walking tour. Yeah,
walking tour,
walking tour is done by someone else.
Someone else.
Yeah.
But you can put on sensible walking shoes and have two great days of learning about your city.
That's Let's right. do both.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then we just quickly, World Peace Day, we're showing a film called Rooted in Peace. They actually contacted us and asked us if we'd be interested in showing it. And so we said, of course. And so that's going to be there. And then we're going forward with our midnight movies on the 22nd of September. And that's always a projectionist choice. And she's done some nice movies in the past. She started with Aliens. And then last month was Fatal? I can't remember. Sorry, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. But anyway,
it's the smoke.
It's the smoke in my brain. And so, but she's doing a great job of doing a midnight movie. She loves doing the midnight movie idea. And so we will put an image up on our in our window, and so it'll give you a hint of what movie it's going to be
for
the midnight movie. Yeah. So you have to come by the Panada and check out the
hint.
What window? It would be the south-facing window.
Cool.
When you go by the theater. So that's cool. Then we have two tribute bands, Led Zeppelin's coming, and The Doors and Creedence Clearwater, and those are going to be coming up this month. Just check out our website, and you can see those. We're bringing the Manhattan Short Film Festival back.
Yay.
It's really good, really great.
Wonderful.
Variety of international short films from around the world. So it's kind of cool. So that'll be back. And we're doing that at the end of the month, September 28th through Sunday, October 1st. So that'll be fun. And then, we just got a lot going on. A brand new movie come out called All Saints. It's a starring Rob, John Corbett. His new film, and it's just about a small town has to come together to save you know, to save the church, the local little church in town. And it's supposed to be one of his best. And so we were able to get that too, which was nice. And then we have comedy coming back. Phil Kapinski, Comedy with Friends, is going to be coming in October 21st, just before we start our
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, yeah. So we're going to cheer you up and then scare you.
Cool.
And then the last thing that I think is really cool is they also have just digitally remastered Halloween. And so they are giving us 2-for-1 with that one. And this Night of the Living Dead is not digitally remastered, but they're giving it to us.
That's still good.
With Halloween. And so we're going to do a double header on Halloween night. So that'll be fun.
Well, that takes us right through October. And if one wants more information about these upcoming events, where does one go?
Panada.org. So www.panada.org.
Well, thank you so much, Becky. And Robert, you hung around. You didn't want to go out into the smoke. we're going to take a music break now and then come back to talk about some of the other events happening in Sandpoint area. It was on this date, I'm so full of on this dates, in 1978, at the age of 31, Keith Moon, the drummer for the Fantastic Who, passed away. And he was voted number 2 on a reader's poll of the second best drummer of all time. And I'll let everyone think about who might have been the number 1 drummer. Here is Keith Moon drumming his heart out on My Generation by The Who.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique, quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
My Generation by The Who, and that was Keith Moon on drums. He passed away on this date, September the 7th in 1978. And before we started that, I mentioned that Rolling Stone magazine had rated the top drummers of all time, and he became the second greatest drummer. And Jack, you said who it was when we were playing the song.
I did. John Bonham came in number 1 from Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if you think of the other great drummers, Ginger Baker and Ginger Baker from not only Air Force, but from Cream, and Ringo Starr from the Beatles was quite good.
Charlie Watts
from the Rolling Stones. But, you know, I mean, one of the books that I read about Ringo Starr said, if you don't think Ringo is a good drummer, just listen to Ticket to Ride. And I have so often listened to paid attention to the drums, and I still miss why he's fabulous. But I guess I need to be a drummer.
Yeah, I guess so.
I need to be a drummer.
And they don't. And that's of course all in the rock and roll category. They don't talk about like the I'm thinking of like old jazz records, which we've been lately playing on KRFY, and sometimes they'll. You know, those guys go nuts too. Everybody gets a solo, and
well, that's curiously you bring that up. Keith Moon thought drum solos was a bore, and he sort of like moved in another direction away from doing drum solos. But I do want to listen to again My Generation on the Live at Leeds album. That's a 15-minute version, and I wonder if there is a drum solo in there.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just I know. I'm running through these songs and
great stuff.
Tapping it out and
Okay, let's do some events coming up. I'm gonna echo Becky. Rebecca, I'm gonna once again an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, at the Panada Theater. It's a sequel to Al Gore's film Inconvenient Truth. And this is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Check Panada.org for the movie times, but I can run through it real quickly. Tonight at 7:30, tomorrow night, Friday, at 5:30, Saturday at 3:30 and Sunday at 3:30. That is an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power. So 4 days at the Panada.
You know what's interesting about that is that in my memory, I was a younger fella at the time when he was vice president. But the caricature of Gore was that he was just a very boring person, that he was not an entertainer of any kind. You know, he was very, very monotonous and kind of droning on and on. And he's got to be the box office winner of former vice presidents
the
at this point.
Guru. But of course, yeah. I don't know how much the competition when you think of like Dan Quayle and folks like that. But you're absolutely correct, you know, that this is a person who has, much like Jimmy Carter with Habitat for Humanity, has continued on with a visible active career after stepping down out of their positions in the White House. So this is a good chance to see what Al Gore has been up to.
There's also going on, I don't even know how they get away with this, but there is a complimentary bourbon tasting going on this Thursday. Hey, that's tonight, the 7th. By act of Congress, September is National Bourbon Heritage Month, an observance in the United States that calls for celebration of bourbon as America's native spirit. Join Dean O from Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits as he pours complimentary tastes of some of America's top bourbons from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. at the 219 Lounge. That's at 219 North 1st Avenue. Excuse me, there will be prizes, bourbon drink specials, and more. It is, of course, 21 and older only. I don't even know how they, like I said, don't know how they get away with it. But then bourbon has to come from Kentucky, right? Is that the rule?
And it's got to be. You're asking me. Yeah, that's just like saying drummers should come from Kansas.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
Well, we'll have
I'm
to.
I'm sure if one attended tonight at the 219 Club, one can find out an answer to that.
Going on tomorrow, we've got the Pondere Cup. I looked out last weekend out on the lake, and I think it was last weekend, the Spud Cup, Labor Day weekend. A lot of sailboats out there, but the Pondere Cup, Sandpoint hosts the regional Pondere Cup soccer tournament featuring U9 through U15 teams September 8th through September 10th. To learn more and see a lineup of games, visit sandpointsoccer.com. That could be kind of fun, though. Go see a soccer tournament or participate in one, I'm sure.
Or if one is into sports, tomorrow night, this is at on Friday the 8th, the Sandpoint High School varsity football game. And what's unique about this, it is the first home game in the new stadium for varsity football. So that's tomorrow night.
That will be fun. And I wonder if it's all sold out already, because I mean, who wouldn't be excited to go see that first game in the new stadium?
I think it's totally finished now.
It looks great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, that it was only not partially done, but a percentage wise done for the festival at Sandpoint. And so I guess the locker rooms are done and everything good. So go Bulldogs.
Yeah. It looks, I know I just rode my bike by there back right before the smoke blew in, and it looked, I saw no equipment lying around. I saw nothing that looked incomplete. It looked just picture perfect. Also going on tomorrow, this Friday, the winery is hosting a community thank you party at 301 Cedar Street, the Pondere Winery. That's a community thank you party with raffles, prizes, wine sales, and food. 30% off all limited selection. Please stop by powine.com for more information about the winery's community thank you party. There's also, of course, live music going on. Tomorrow is going to be Brian Jacobs from 5 to 8. And on Saturday, it's going to be some other fantastic musical artist.
You're jumping ahead. I'm still on Friday.
Sorry.
Friday is Sandpoint Contra Dance.
Everyone
is invited to attend a community dance in the New England tradition, a contra dance, at 7 p.m. in the Sandpoint Community Hall on First Avenue. All dances are taught and called with live music. Beginners and singles are encouraged. New dancers are encouraged to arrive in time for the beginning to start with the basics. It's a $5 donation, so bring clean shoes and a water bottle. It doesn't say a full water bottle. It just says a water bottle. How about a bottle of water?
That makes more sense to me.
I would think so. Sponsored by Lost Horse Press and Sandpoint Parks and Recreation. This is held on the second Friday of every month. And if you want more information, dial 208-263-6751. That is the Sandpoint Contra Dance at 7 p.m. in the community hall.
Someday I'm going to go to that, Jim.
I have been once. It's fun.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, good.
A while ago, but I enjoyed it.
Well, I'd like to give it a try.
Do that. Take Annie and go.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll put on our clean shoes.
Clean shoes and bring two bottles of water.
One full, one empty.
There you go.
I don't know. Anyway, continuing on with what's going on Friday, it is Second Fridays with Ron Green at McDuff's Beer Hall. Ron Green comes up from Coeur d'Alene and plays music from 6:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. He plays throughout the Northwest and makes a habit of stopping in at McDuff's Beer Hall on the second Friday of every month. It is 21 and up at McDuff's Beer Hall. There's also live music at the 219 with Mama Doll from 8 p.m. till 11 p.m. Don't miss this rare Sandpoint appearance by one of Spokane's top bands, Mama Doll, featuring Sandpoint's own Jen Landis, who will be playing a variety of indie pop originals and covers, free and open to the public. They are pretty good, yes, I must say.
Yeah. They are. They are. Not tomorrow, but on Saturday, Sandpoint History Walking Tour. This is the second. They did one on the 2nd of September. Now this is the 9th of September. The City of Sandpoint Historic Preservation Commission is conducting a walking tour through the downtown Sandpoint core. And the recently published Sandpoint, A Walk Through History, will serve as a guide. That is an incredible guide. I highly recommend it for the history and the photographs. The tour begins at 10 a.m. and runs through till noon. And it starts in front of the historic Panetta Theater at 300 North 1st Avenue. So put on sensible walking shoes, but it doesn't say water, but I'd highly recommend water. And join in the exploration of our historic downtown. Big time. And this is a family event. You know, get your children interested in the heritage of this area, particularly this town. Free and open to public. For more information, contact Ryan Shea with the Sandpoint Planning Development, 208-263-3370.
Do we know who's guiding that? Is it Ryan Shea?
I do not know. But, you know, just from the brochure itself, incredible history.
Yeah. It would be very cool. I intend to take that if I can only remember.
10 o'clock on Saturday.
10 a.m. Oh, even that's
10,
great.
10 in the morning on Saturday in front of the Panetta, and it runs for 2 hours.
Oh, it'll be nice and cool. Hopefully, I'm going to go. If this widespread smoke turns into widespread haze, then I will go.
If it's not a concentrated area of smoke.
Right. That's exactly right. The Injectors Car Show is this weekend. That's the 18th annual Powered by the Past. From 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in downtown Sandpoint, the 7B Band will be playing live music, and all are invited to enjoy the greatly expanded educational alley featuring participants from the business and industrial sector. Sandpointinjectors.com, 263-9780 for more information about that. There's also a Bonner County Citizens Preparedness Expo going on this Saturday, talking about preparing for emergencies, natural disasters, severe weather conditions. The second annual Bonner County Citizens Preparedness Expo from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Bonner County Fairgrounds, which is out on North Boyer Avenue. Workshops all day, tips, talks, vendors, displays on topics including food and water storage, alternative energy, secure homes, go bags, emergency communications, wilderness first aid, types of emergencies to be ready for, safe gatherings, essential oils, first aid, and more. For more information, call Penny at 208-946-3692.
Okay, I've got one last item, and I'm going to try to read this without breaking up and smiling all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Northwest Cornhole Championship.
The championship?
Cornhole Championship. Cornhole is back at McDuff's Beer Hall, 220 Cedar Street. This is on Saturday. Cornhole kings and queens will be taking to the courtyard, where there will be three regulation courts set up to test tossing abilities in a double elimination tournament. Capped at 32 teams, so sign early at 208-209-6700 or show up the day of the event between 11 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. First toss at 1 p.m. Cost is a certain amount of money. Cash and prizes 21 years of age or older. That's the Northwest Cornhole Championship at McDuff's Beer Hall at 1 p.m. on Saturday. But before I slide out of here, I do want to say right after Bird Note, we have a Steely Dan song that we will cue up in honor of Walter Becker, one of the two members, along with Donald Fagen of Steely Dan, who passed away recently, and they certainly left a ton of wonderful music. And we've got a song, Gaucho, queued up for after Bird Note at 9 o'clock, Steely Dan at its best.
We've got plenty more events here coming up. We talked about some of them, what's going on at the Panada earlier on in the day. The Farmer's Market continues this weekend. It's almost time for us to go, and I didn't even ask how
we were. I talked with the corn man, and the corn will be good through September.
Yes. All
right. Through September.
I didn't even ask how your Labor Day was, Jim.
Smoky.
It was smoky. Did you know we had the, according to the reports, we had the worst
air quality index in
the country.
Cosmos.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty bad here. We went out to breakfast and they shut the restaurant down because the smoke alarm kept going off in the kitchen.
Really?
They closed it down.
Jack, this has been good.
It has been. You sound great, by the way, and I have sounded like this all week.
I've stayed indoors, and I've continued to. I've heard drinking liquids is very important.
Ah, well, there's my shortcoming, I guess.
Not a water bottle, but a bottle of water.
Uh-huh. On your behalf, Jim, I guess I better say good morning and good day.
Good morning and good day. Thank you, Jack. And thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY.
Stay tuned for Bird Note, then Steely Dan, and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that here on your community radio station. Oof. Oof.
KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.